Fresh air is an intangible force that revives the soul. In our natural state, we can find ourselves living in survival mode. In fact, it's very easy to end up in a stagnant, lifeless state with absolutely no wind in our sails. I believe that every one of us has a longing for more, a longing to experience a breath of fresh air that will blow through every area of our lives. Because when it happens, it literally has the power to change everything.
Welcome to part two of Fresh Air. And again, I just want to say welcome to Crosspoint. Also want to say at this point, welcome to those that are watching online. Everybody welcome all those that are here online. And I'm just really encouraged by this series that we are in. Great things are happening here. Also want to acknowledge again, a lot of our college students that are here from UNC Charlotte. Can I just give a shout out to the college students from UNC Charlotte? I went to a ball game last night, and I got the season tickets this year, and we won last night, y'all. Last week was 70-14, and we won't say who was on top and bottom on that one. And this week, we almost made it 70-14 the other way around, the right side. But anyway, it was a great night last night for UNC Charlotte. So excited that you're here along for the ride for this series, Fresh Air. This is actually a very great series that we're doing, and it's a little bit different because this series is actually based on a book entitled Fresh Air that was authored by Pastor Chris Hodges. He is the lead pastor, senior pastor at Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And a few years back, he wrote a book, and he actually preached a little series on that as he launched that book, and many churches across the country joined him in that series. So we're going to do that. We're doing that series as a church as well. In addition to that, you just heard about small groups. I get to take advantage of the platform. I shouldn't do that, but I have a small group that we're actually taking this book, and we're stretching it out over 13 weeks. That starts today in my home. If anybody doesn't have a small group and wants to plug into that, we're going to take this, and it's actually a video series teaching by Pastor Chris Hodges. It takes us through this entire book. But what we're doing in this series, we're actually pulling out four principles. We call them fresh air principles that are from this book to give you what I believe will be fresh air for you. We started last week talking about how that we need to, first of all, the first principle is that we need to open our hearts to God and fall in love with Jesus. And if you didn't hear that, I encourage you to go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com. There you can hear that message again or hear it for the first time if you haven't heard it. And you can also download the message notes, the fill-in-the-blanks that you have. In fact, that's kind of the way I do series around here. We do it with fill-in-the-blank message notes, and those are found in your worship guide. You can pull those out if you'd like and follow along with us, and we're going to have a little bit of fill-in for you. So the theme verse that we're looking at, and we're going to give you this every week, and it's really setting before you a choice. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30 that says this: "This day I call heaven, the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses." And then he says, "Now choose life." So we have this choice. And so we talked about that last week, about these choices that we have. Today I want to talk about attitudes. Everybody say attitudes. What's your attitudes? Well, really, attitudes, it's you look at the condition of the world, and there's some bad attitudes right now. Let's just be honest. Really, the hearts of our world, we're in many places, it's a very dark place. In fact, the Bible predicted that one of the signs of the last days, of the end times, would be messed up hearts. Bad attitudes. It really actually predicts that. Somebody would ask the question, perhaps, are we living in the end times? Well, we very well could be, because all prophecy is now being fulfilled. And we know of these prophecies about the end times. We hear about wars and famines and earthquakes and pestilence and all these things that are happening. But another sign of the end times is actually our attitude. Our attitude. And so I'm going to give you this scripture that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that's actually talking about end times. And he says, but mark this. So in other words, be sure of this. There will be terrible times in the last days. That word terrible actually is the same word used there that's actually means demonic. It's the same term that was used when Jesus delivered the demoniac. And it says that there will be terrible or demonic times in the last days. And look at how it describes the last days. See if this sounds familiar. People will be lovers of themselves. Okay, we know that's the case today. Lovers of money, that's happening. Boastful, very proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And then it lists these things, I call them the uns, okay? Ungrateful, unholy, without love, so we could say unloving, right? And unforgiving. To understand this concept that we're talking about today about attitudes, I think it's important that we expose where our attitudes can be at times. So there in your message notes, I want you to write these four, I call them the uns, these uns down, okay? And we're going to recognize the condition of where we are, but most importantly today, we're going to find out how to turn this around and breathe some fresh air into us. Now, I think all of us have at times have had bad attitudes. Let's be honest. Anybody ever have a bad attitude? You don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but you know, some of you going, that one right beside me there. I actually told somebody this week, I said, come Sunday and hear me preach to myself. It's always fun to do. So I don't want to present this as if I've got it all together and all my fingers are pointing out at you. No, actually, if I do that, a bunch of them are pointing back at me. We all have those moments. We have these bad attitudes at times. So we need to check ourselves and understand where we are. And really what we're talking about is the condition of our heart, because all this is reflective of what's going on the inside. So the first one that's mentioned there, write this down, it's ungrateful or ungrateful. And that is that we just get so focused on what we want, you know, that greed thing, that we forget what we have. We get so focused on what's next. You know, what's the next thing that I can move to that I'm unsatisfied with what I have? Next Sunday, we're going to talk about something called rest. And Labor Day, I actually went with my family to Frank Lisk Park, and we were out there throwing the frisbee. We had the KFC thing going, you know, and there was this big old tree, and there was this nice shade that was cast from this big tree. And I heard somebody say, what are we going to do next? What are we going to do next? And I just started moving towards the shade, y'all. I might bring a picture of it next week. Anyway, I laid down in the shade, you know, and I looked up at the blue sky with white fluffy clouds, and I'm thinking, we're always saying, what's next? What we got? This is where I am, right here, right now. And so I think sometimes when we're ungrateful, we're always trying to get to the next thing. Like, I mean, what iPhone are we on right now? Are we on 6? 6? We're coming out with 7. We come out with 7. You know what that means? If they got 7 out, your 6 is junk now. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's always the next thing. It's like, I can remember my first phone that me and Kim got. Well, we thought we were, we had it going on. Called her mother from our house, heading to her house. And I can still remember my wife to this day saying, I'm in the car, and I'm on the telephone, you know. But this phone, let me show you what the phone looked like. I just thought about trying to find it because I'm sure it's somewhere. You know, I'm sure we didn't throw that thing away. It's somewhere. Let me show you what it looked like. It kind of looked like this right here. Hey, Mom. I'm just, I didn't plan that. I just thought of that one. But anyhow, it was about the size of our shoe, you know. Now, you know, if it's not small, you know, now it's got to be the size of your fingernail. You know, the smaller, the better, the greater. And, you know, we just want the next thing, you know. I can remember this thing we called the Walkman. Do you remember what a Walkman is? Anybody have a clue what a Walkman is? It's the thing you wore on the hip, and you let you listen to stuff, but you didn't walk too fast or go up and down steps too hard because it would skip, and you'd be at the beginning of the thing. You had to walk real smooth, and I mean, everything's just changing so rapidly. There's an individual that wrote a book called Progress Paradox. It talks about this thing of greed. And with this idea, and that is that the better off we are getting, the more miserable we are. The better off we're getting, the more miserable we are. So we're getting more stuff, but yet we're not, and we think we're better off, but inside we're not. And I think we just need to get back to what really matters and keeping it simple. When we fall into this thing of being ungrateful, it can be a very dangerous place. I can remember a time where I sat down with my grandparents and we snapped green beans. Y'all don't know what in the world. You think, snap them? What are you talking about? Snap them. So we didn't go to the store and buy them out of a can. We got them out of the garden and we snapped them. You know, come on, I gotta get a witness. There we go. Snap those green beans, you know, and there's no AC going on. Maybe there's a fan in the window or fan's the thing on the front porch, you know. And yet, if you reflect, oftentimes we had less, but perhaps we were happier. So in more, sometimes there is less. And there's this choice that we have. Actually, in the book of Progress Paradox, it describes it as choice anxiety. We have so many choices. I mean, we can leave here today, and we're going to have 40 restaurants that we can choose from. And trust me, I got a group, you know, our big thing after church is where you want to eat. I don't know where you want to eat. Well, let me go down the list. We go down the list this long, and we still don't know where we're going to eat, you know. Indecision, you know, it's leaders too, by the way. It's just kind of scary because leaders are supposed to be decisive. But, you know, I mean, really think about it. And I'm going to be referring to Pastor Chris Hodges in this series a lot because obviously this is his book, this is his stuff, but he refers to his 92-year-old grandmother who was very, very crippled up with arthritis, and they got to a place where they brought her to live with them for a while, and he went in to visit her one time, and there she was kind of curled up in the chair. Her knuckles were very large because of the arthritis, and she was just kind of curled up in a lot of pain. You knew she was in very much pain. This was before she passed away. And he went up to her and he said, how are you doing? He asked his grandmother, how are you doing? And her response was what it always is, he said. And she said, well, Chris, you know, I'm better off than most, better off than most. What a great attitude of just being grateful. And you know she was in great pain, but yeah, her attitude, oh, I'm just better off than most. Oh, God, help us to have that kind of an attitude. And so then there's that thing of being ungrateful. Here's another one. Write this one down. And that's unholy. Unholy is described here. And really, this area of unholy is that we're making choices that are polluting our hearts. I want you to get this. I think sometimes this thing of holiness has been presented in really a wrong way because, see, it's not just about destroying our relationship with God, who is rich in mercy, by the way, and who will forgive anything that we've ever done. He is a good God who forgives us. But it's more than just that, but it is what it does to you. And I, when we're living in a place where we shouldn't be living and we're unholy on the inside, it's when we're carrying around this thing everywhere we go. We're carrying around unrepentant sin, or there's shame, and or we've got something that we're walking around with, the secret that no one knows about except us. We're the only one that knows, but you know it. And so on the inside, you're carrying this around, and it begins to destroy you on the inside. Unholy is an attitude that destroys. It's an attitude. You see, for some of you, might have thought it just had to do with the outside appearance. Outside appearance is just a reflection of what's going on the inside. Unholy, it has to do with the attitude of the heart. And when our heart is not right, It begins to destroy us on the inside. And I just got some good news. I just want to breathe right here. And that is that only Jesus can heal that. today you may be here and there may be something going on the inside that you're carrying that you've walked in here with. I want to tell you, today you can leave here and you can be made holy in the sight of God. You can be cleansed on the inside, and Jesus can do that. He can heal the attitude of your heart. Amen, everybody? Good place for an amen right there. Here's another attitude, and that is the attitude of being unloving. And so really, to understand this, we need to define what love is. Real love, by the way, is not your feelings. And it's more than just friendship. True love is agape love. It's God's love. And it's unconditional. It's unselfish. It's saying, you first, not me, right? I share this sometimes in marriage counseling. It's an old illustration, but it's where a lady had this long hair, and she cut off her hair to buy a chain for her husband's watch, right? And he sold his watch to buy her a class for her hair. Y'all get that? Do I need to tell that again? She had this long, y'all got it, okay. So it was like one was thinking about the other, right? This attitude of just, I prefer you first. And here's what I know, and that is, it is intentionally choosing to do something by acting or help and being helpful for someone regardless of the cost or consequences to yourselves. It is others first. And this attitude today is often the opposite of that. It's being unloving. It's being selfish. It's disregard for life. It's not caring. It's only what's in it for me. But it pollutes our heart when we say, I don't care. And honestly, it sucks the life out of you when you don't care. When you get this hard place where I don't care. I don't care. I hate this group. I hate that group. I hate this person. I hate that person. Just unloving attitude. I'm telling you, it doesn't just affect those. And that hurts bad enough, but it affects you on the inside. Unloving. And here's one of the biggest ones of all. Write this one down, number four. And that is the attitude of being unforgiving. Unforgiving. And I would just say that is a tough area, because there are times in our life where it is hard to forgive. Some of you have been hurt very deeply. And I would say, if we had a show of hands of how many right now are dealing with some area on some level of unforgiveness, and it's difficult for you, I'd probably at least get 80% of you to raise your hands and say that's an area. There is something that's tough, and it's hard for me to forgive that area. So this area is huge. It's especially huge, you know, we're in September. We're not up against the holidays yet. But it's really sad in the holiday time when you've got people who have to go to multiple Christmas events, Thanksgiving events, because, not because there's so many people to see, but because mom and sister can't be in the same room together. So you got to go to mom's event, and then you got to go to sister's event because those two aren't speaking. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's just tragic. It's tragic. And so this attitude of being unforgiving, and it's so sad because we're laying claim to the grace of God that covers us, that forgives us, that has mercy on us for all of our wrongs, and yet we can't extend that to others. And you might say, well, you don't know my situation. It's very difficult. And I get that. But I do know this, and that is that person, that situation is not the problem. There is an enemy that wants to pollute your heart with this attitude of unforgiveness. And so here are four examples of end-time attitudes. And really, these attitudes are the opposite of what God wants the condition of your heart to be. So let me inject in you some fresh air. And so, we talked about this last week, principle number one, and that is to fall in love with Jesus. But second, we need to understand this, and that is that the decisions you make about the condition of your heart, and there are decisions that we need to make about our heart. And the big reveal of the day is this: it's more up to you than you realize. You say, well, if my situation would change. Some of you might be saying, if he would change, or if she would change. And first they got to say, I'm sorry, you know, or this has got to change, or if I could be in a different job, or if my finances could change, and all these other things externally could change. But the big reveal of today is this, and it's more up to you than you realize. It's about choice. We talked about last week that this fresh air. Are you experiencing fresh air, or are you in the doldrums? You know what doldrums is? Go check out last week, all right? Or the choice of life or death, or as we're putting this for you every week, blessing or cursing. Jesus put it this way in John 10 and 10. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to rob you. He wants to steal those things out of your heart, right? But here's the good news. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they may have it to the full. Last week we talked about the tree of life versus the tree of good and evil. And God says, come that you might have life and that you might have it even to the full. So how do we do that? Well, the message title of this installment is called Good Medicine. Good Medicine. And what we do with the uns in our life, right? The uns that invade us. Proverbs 17 and 22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine. So a cheerful heart, a merry heart, a fresh air heart, a heart that's breathing air, a heart that has the right attitude is good medicine. Nehemiah 12 and 1 says this, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy, it's a condition of the heart. It's what's going on the inside, not what's going on the outside, that is your strength. And you said, for some of you, if joy was your strength, you know, you could get mugged by a butterfly. I'm just saying. Right? You know, like we were saying last week about the Christian that says, I got joy, joy, joy. I got joy. It's deep down in there. I don't want it to surface. It's just deep down in there. Come on. We need some joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? We think it's the condition we're in. And you say, well, it's not my fault. I can't help it. If you understood what I was going through. But actually, you can do something about this. Write this down. Number one, and that is this. Make the choice every day. We kind of try to make the most important thing, the thing that you're writing down, make the choice. But probably here, the most important thing, and you might want to underline this, is every day. Write this somewhere in your notes. Your attitude will not take care of itself. That's good. Most of us think life is what happens to me. But life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. I know, you say, I've heard that before, but it's true, folks. It's true. I mean, our response is, look, when somebody does something to us, well, maybe not you, maybe it's just me. I'll just use me, okay? When something bad happens to me, I'm going to strike you back. You know, I'm going to get back. There's going to be a response. There's a knee-jerk reaction there. There's that human part of me that says, hey, you did me wrong. Look out. Here I, you know. You ever have that feeling sometimes? Come on, let's be honest. Y'all quit being spiritual. Y'all have that attitude where somebody does something to you and you've already had a long line of stuff that's been going on and you're thinking, you picked the wrong day. And the blood pressure, you know, and it's on, you know, right? And you think, well, I deserve to be in a bad mood. I've had a bad day. So give me some room here. Just give me some room. Can I tell you, you cannot trust your feelings. You cannot trust your feelings. There is a choice. Even when you're attacked, there is a choice. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders us. Let us throw it off. Let me just put it this way. It's constantly. That's not just something you do one time. It's continual. Let us continuing to be throwing everything off that hinders and the sin that so easily ensnares. Why? And let us run with perseverance. Let's get some fresh air going. That's run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, right? I heard the story of a senior citizen being put into a nursing home, and they were concerned about her, you know, what her response would be. Would she like her new setting? Is she going to be accepting of it? And so they asked her, they said, are you okay with your home? Is this going to be okay for you? And her response was this: happiness is something you decide ahead of time. Whether I like my room or not does not, whether I like my room or not, it does not depend on how the furniture is arranged. It's how I arrange it in my mind. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? It's this attitude, this attitude. So I would encourage you, if you're casting off things, start in the beginning of the day. We've given out bracelets. We got some more of these. We've got to get to some of you that didn't get some of these, that says, pray first, pray first. Do it at the beginning of the day. Like, get up in the morning and say, God, I know there's going to be some people that I'm really going to tend to hate today. And so I need you to get me preset on forgiveness right now, you know. And so we forgive them ahead of time, right? Forgive them ahead of time. Get preset on that, right? In Ephesians, it talks about spiritual clothes we put on. You know, y'all have heard it. Breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, right? All these things. It's not something you just read about. You got to put it on. You got to put it on. You got to get dressed in the morning. So first thing every day, make the right choice. One person prayed this prayer, said, Dear Lord, so far I'm doing all right. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy or grumpy, nasty or selfish or self-indulgent. I've not whined, I've not cursed, I've not eaten any chocolate. However, I'm going to get out of bed in a few minutes, and I'm going to need a lot more help with all of this, okay? Right? That's funny. Psalm 19:14 says this, May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So let the words of my mouth, and by the way, you say, I can't control my mouth. Guess what? Sorry, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if it ain't in there, it ain't coming out, all right? So it reveals the condition of our heart. Is that all right? Come on, that's just good old-time fashion preaching right there, y'all. Come on. So let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let my attitude be right, the way I think about life, the way I look at life, let it be right. Lord, you, oh, Lord, my strength or my rock and my redeemer, that thing that never moves, that's solid, I'm anchoring myself in you. There may be things shifting around me, God, but I'm setting myself in you today, God. Lord, guard my mind, guard my words, right, and then chart my course for the day, right? So it's how I'm thinking, how I'm processing. And then here's another one, all right? So number one, make the choice every day. Number two, develop, write this down, develop a high appreciation for life. So this has to do with life philosophy. You know, are you going to be pessimistic or are you going to be optimistic? Are you going to be negative or are you going to be positive? Somebody say, I'm positive, I'm going to be negative. I'm positive that person I work with is going to be negative. I know it. I mean, it really goes to how you view things, how you look at things. What is your approach to life? I'm going to buy a Tigger for everybody in here. We need you know what Tigger is? I need a stuffed animal for every one of you. You can take home and set it on your mantle and say, that's the winning attitude I need. Tigger's always a why not? Tigger, you want to go pick apples? Sure, that's what Tiggers do best. Why not? You know? Tigger, you want to go go ice skating? Oh, sure, Tigger. That's what Tiggers do best. Come on, we need a why not attitude, right? Got one right back there. Josh, everybody should give a shout out to Josh right now. I just like putting people on the spot. No. You know, when he came into this church, everything we offered to him, we say, hey, how about this? Hey, why not? Hey, how about the growth track? Hey, why not? Hey, about this? Why not? He went through the growth track. He's serving on our production team, doing a phenomenal job. Why? Because he's got a winning attitude. Why not? How do you view life? And there's others that look at you and go, what? You want me to do what? No, I don't want you to do something for me. I want this for you. How is how we view things? The Apostle Paul is an amazing example. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it describes his attitude. He was a guy that was persecuted. I mean, you talk about having a bad day. Look, he could compare some battle scars to your battle scars, all right? And here he was saying he was always one that was, he had sorrow, but yet he was always rejoicing. Isn't that something? He was poor, yet making many rich. He said, I'm having nothing, but yet possessing everything. How can you defeat a person like that? Just a winning attitude. I got to share this one that Pastor Chris Hodges shared also of his father-in-law's mother. They called her Mama Hornsby, and she was from Louisiana. She's Cajun, so, and I can't do Cajun good, okay, but I'm just saying she's this Cajun lady, and she had this winning attitude of life. And you come in complaining about anything, you know, just a little gripe and just a little whine. You say one word and she'd say, oh, come on, you just need a passy. Come on, give a poor baby a passy. And then you try to complain. She's, oh, come on. She said, you got the world by the tail. You got the world by the tail. No matter what happened, you got the world by the tail. She just had this winning attitude. He said, that's why when we go to P.F. Chains, we call it poof, poof, chains. And she'd always say, poof, poof, I'll come, poof, poof. I can't do it, y'all. Okay, all right. Come to my house. We'll show you Pastor Chris doing it. Anyway, but there's this, you got to have this winning attitude. I had a third grade teacher, my favorite teacher, African-American lady, just wonderful lady. I was in the third grade, and everything that happened, no matter what happened, it was, don't worry about it, honey. Don't worry about it, honey. You know, I make a D. Don't worry about it, honey. I love that teacher. Of course, she knew how to pull you by the ear, too. I remember her pulling me by the ear. But she said, don't worry about it, honey. Don't worry about it. I think we just worry too much. Come on, everybody. I'm just trying to give you some fresh air. Everybody breathe in, breathe out. All right, fresh air, right? All right? So we need to be grateful. I mean, like, you know, if it's sunny, oh, I can't believe it's so hot again today. Or it's a beautiful day, the sun's shining. Or it's raining. Oh, I hate the rain. Oh, thank God for the rain. I know we needed the rain. Isn't it great? Got rain today. Isn't it great? I mean, what is our attitude like? If we're going through a trial, oh, I'm going to learn so much through this. I can't believe it. I know. And you're saying, well, come on, let's be real, Pastor. I know we have challenges. I know, but there is a choice. We do have a choice. 1 Thessalonians, this is not in your notes, says this, give thanks, this is God's will, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So develop a high appreciation for life. And then look at this. 3, find something positive. Write this down. Find something positive in everything. In everything. And the truth is, you'll have to go find it. That's the right words there. Find something. You've got to go find it. Because it's easy when everything's going fine, but when things are not going well, you got to go find the positive. Billy Hornsby, the father-in-law of Pastor Chris Hodges, had cancer. He has since went on to be with the Lord. It started as a little place in the bottom of his foot, and the doctor thought it was nothing, but it ended up being stage 5 of cancer. He battled with it for about a year and a half. And he said of him, of Billy Hornsby, I have never known him to have a bad day. Never, never, never has he ever had a bad day where he has a bad attitude. And at one point he prayed and he asked God, God, will you give me 6 more weeks? Because I'd like to see the people in my life that I care about and I love, I want to talk to them one more time. And the story goes that there was 300 people that were brought in through Birmingham to see him on his bed before he left. Pastors and ministers from across the world come in to see him. And they came in there to pray for him, but it turned the other way around. And he was actually laying his hands on them and praying for them. And they left encouraged. Telling you, it is a choice. It is an attitude that we can have, and we make that choice every day. Philippians 4 says this, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It is a choice. And with people, it's especially a choice. Listen, there's some bad in every person. It's there. But there's also some good in every person. So we have a choice. People can either irritate you or entertain you. Think about it. It's your choice. You can get irritated, or you say, oh, bless them, Jesus, help them, Lord. Come on. Bless their heart. I don't know what that means in the South. Bless their heart. Right? There's going to be a choice when you get in the car today. Right? When you're leaving here today, you're going to have road rage. I know, not as much traffic on Sundays. Maybe you'll be all right today, but tomorrow it's on. Right? Get out of my way. Look, I got a V8. I know how to use it. And I got a horn. I know how to use it. I'm just saying. All right? But it's a choice. It really is. Right? So what kind of person are we going to be? Right? And when we look at people, are we going to complain about them, or are we going to understand their situation and see some good within them? You ever talk to people who just, you know, you go in with a case about somebody, and you're saying, this person did me wrong, blah, 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 and the person you're telling it to, they just, and in your mind, you're probably thinking, they're just giving them a pass. But they say, well, they probably didn't mean that. They probably didn't mean that. You know, my mother-in-law and father-in-law was that way. I always see the good in people. Well, we don't know what people are going through. Well, you know what he said about, well, you know, you got to understand, you know their history, you know what, you know. Always look for the good, right? There may be a reason for that. Well, maybe they just didn't mean to, maybe it came out wrong. You know, we all say things we shouldn't say. So every person, we need to look at every person. Is a person a problem to be avoided or a person to be loved? Right? So let me just give you some, I'm just trying to give you some choice of fresh air, right? Number four, look at this. This final one, right? So we're making the choice every day. We're developing a high appreciation of life. We're finding something positive in everything. Let me give you this last one, and that is turn everything over to God. Turn everything over to God. Every day we have an opportunity to have a bad attitude. How's that? But every day you have an opportunity to have a good attitude. Why not have a good day? Why not make it a good day? And maybe you've made some mistakes and you're in that place and things are coming against you. Maybe you have been attacked on every side and you're trying to figure out how in the world. This is a pie-in-the-sky kind of message. I don't get it. But listen, you can decide where you go from this point. You can decide where you go. The first thing is you have a choice. Then we need to change our philosophy, have a high appreciation of life. Always find the positive. There's tons of negative in everything, okay? But you got to go look for the positive. And then when all else fails, pull aside and give it to God. Look at this. On Jesus' worst day, his worst day, he's hanging on the cross. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I give it all to you. One of the reasons I'm convinced that we are oftentimes not happy is we try to handle everything ourselves. I got some battles I'm facing, just like you got some battles you're facing. But there comes a point where you got to decide whether you're just going to keep boxing it out with life or you're going to just surrender and say, Lord, as David said, my times, O Lord, are in your hands, are in your hands. I had that conversation with my father this week. We're battling some things in our community about some of the ways that some development that's happening around here. And I told my father, I said, you know, I'm to the point, you know, I'm just saying, you know, what's most important? What's most important? And sometimes we lose perspective, right? I mean, we fight. If you knew what some couples come into marriage counseling over, oh, come on. Are the socks in the corner worth your marriage? I mean, is the toothpaste cap off of the toothpaste really that important? Is the lid left up or down? Or the toilet paper rolling over or under? I mean, is it really? Come on. I mean, we lose perspective. There's got to be a time sometimes where, and it may be more serious, and I don't mean to be trite. It may be a lot more serious than that. But there comes a time where you've got to be able to just give it to God and let God handle. Look at what Philippians chapter 4 says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we come to God, Lord, I'm leaving it in your hands. I'm going to leave it at your feet. By the way, it can't be your problem and God's problem at the same time. Right? And look at the result. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The result is that you're going to have peace. First Peter puts it this way, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That cast is cast it or throw it. All your uns, all your bad attitudes, we cast it on Jesus. And then let me give you this fresh air principle. Last week we gave you fall in love with Jesus. Let me give you this fresh air principle number two, and let me set it up with this scripture from Philippians chapter 2. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. To which you might be saying, how is that possible? I'm not Jesus. Guess what? You can have the same attitude, the same mindset of Jesus. I'm going to show you how, all right? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature, God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. So he didn't step on the scene going, I'm God. Bow down. No. He actually took the position that I am nothing, right? He lowered himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death of a cross. You talking about the right attitude? Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's your final or your second fresh air principle, and that's this. Write this down. Choose a Christ-like attitude. Choose a Christ-like attitude. And so, well, how does that happen? I'm feeling something entirely different on the inside than a Christ-like attitude. Well, here's the miracle of it all. And that is that when you turn everything over to God, that is when you turn your life over to God, there's a miracle that happens. He comes on the inside and he begins to transform you on the inside. He begins to, day by day, conform us into the Bible calls it the image of God. And so it's Christ-likeness. He begins to change our attitude. There's a transformation that happens on the inside. And I know for some of us, we're thinking, if I could just fix the external, folks, it's not the external. It'll never happen on the external. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. The gospel of Christ is not an external gospel. I got to do these things. I got to do all the do's and don't do the don'ts. I got to change my behavior. Christianity is not about behavior modification. Behavior will change and a lot of things will change in your life, but it's not about the outside. It's about the inside. When Jesus comes in, there is a transformation of the inside. One scripture says we have the mind of Christ. It's amazing. I'm not saying we're Christ. We'll never be Christ, okay? But I'm saying he brings his ability on the inside. He brings his spirit. He brings his nature. And the things that the ways you would respond before begins to change. The way you begin to look at life begins to change. Everything begins to change from the inside out. And that happens when we turn everything over to God and give it all to him. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? I'd like to have the opportunity today to really just lead you in prayer. Perhaps you need prayer today. Perhaps your attitude's not where it needs to be, and maybe this is the reason. Maybe you haven't really fully surrendered everything in your life to God. And so whether you're here today or whether you're watching online, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you, but while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would simply like to help lead you in a prayer. But if that's you today, I'd like you to be bold and lift up a hand and just say, Pastor, when you pray, Would you pray for me? Would you count me in that prayer? And you can put it right back down. Yes, yes. Anyone else? God, yes, yes. Good job. Proud of you. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Thank you, Lord. All right. I'm just going to help you with the words. Let this be your prayer from your heart to God. But there's going to be a transformation on the inside when you invite Jesus to come in and live inside of you. He's going to do that right now. So right where you're seated, if that's you, just, again, it's not about a magic prayer, but I'm just helping you with the words, but just simply mean it. Would you just pray something like this? Let me lead you. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I invite you to come in. I thank you for dying on the cross for me, for paying for all of my debts so I wouldn't have to. I accept your payment. It's payment in full. Nothing else to be paid. You paid for it all. You purchased my peace. You purchased my joy. You purchased my salvation. I invite you now to come in. I surrender my life to you. Come on, say this. I give you my life. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Change my heart. Give me a heart for you. Fill me with life and life to the fullest as you always intended it should be for me. And with all of my heart, I will follow you as you give me the power to do so. In Jesus' name. God, I want to thank you for every decision that's been made in this house, and I want to give you praise for all the change, Lord, that's happening now by you, by what you're doing, for the transformation that's now happening. By faith, we accept you. By faith, we confess you as Lord. And God, I thank you that along with heaven, who is now rejoicing, I rejoice with them and I celebrate over them. God, I pray that you would fill them with your Spirit. You give them your ability to walk step by step, day by day, in making Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, following you daily, making the choice every day to choose life. Thank you, Lord, for the choices that are made to choose life. We give you praise and glory. Lord, I pray fresh air now in this church. God, as we go forth from this place, God, I pray that you would enable us, God, in every situation of life, God, to be your representation, to be Christ-like. God, that we, oh Lord, would have the right attitude, that we would exemplify you and they would see you and glorify you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's celebrate changed lives today. Amen. 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 Awesome. Awesome.